Happy Wednesday morning. Thank God for another chance to share and to learn about our good God. Let's pray and then we will go right into the Word. The scripture today will come out of 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll start with a couple of verses, and what I really want to focus on is the last verse in the chapter, verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we'll read probably verses 1 through 4 and then jump down to verse 21. All right, let's pray. God, we love you. God, I thank you that in the middle of hectic situations, in the middle of sometimes when we decide to try to do too much, that you're right there with us and you're still the God of peace. I thank you this morning that you will speak to us, Lord, that you will reveal things to our heart. I thank you that you're a God that decides, that has decided, and that continues to decide to speak to us, to reveal yourself to us, to show us your love, to show us your grace, to show us your wisdom, Lord. I pray today, God, that whatever each one of us stand in need of, that you will help us, that you will strengthen us, and that you, Lord God, will continue to get the praise and glory in each one of our lives. I pray, Father, that you will bless our brothers and sisters that need physical healing, spiritual healing, that finances maybe look a little funny. God, I pray that you will help us all in whatever way we need. And we honor you as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the perfect gift, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth and for walking in complete obedience, complete love. And we thank you for showing us how to do it. We honor you today, God. We praise you. And by faith, we consider these things done. And we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Even joking with Brother Kevin a couple minutes ago, it is a scripture that a book that God really speaks to me in. I'm not 100% sure why, to be honest with you. But I thank God for his revelation. I thank God for his wisdom. And I thank God that he continues to open things up for me. One thing that I personally struggle with a little bit at times is always having something fresh or always having something new or asking God to show me something he's never shown me before. One of the guys that I listen to, Damon Thompson, who I think is one of the most amazing men on earth besides myself, of course. And I'm joking. I got an eye roll from Alex on that one. But he talks about it. When preachers preach, one of the, I guess, hard things a lot of times for preachers is that everybody wants something new all the time. Everybody wants something maybe that's never been taught on in their church or whatever it may be. But a lot of times it's good to go back and look at things that when preachers preach, that a lot of times review doesn't happen because maybe people get bored of it, or maybe people think that, you know, potentially there should be, you know, something fresh and something new. But today I was a little concerned about that, to be very honest with you. And about 30 minutes ago or maybe an hour ago, God gave me something that I had never seen before. So I definitely honor God for that. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Eli would have been the high priest at this time. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, where there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." We know the story that this happens 3 or 4 times. And ultimately, Eli finally realizes, he perceives, the Bible says, that it's the Lord calling Samuel. So he said, "Listen, next time you hear the voice that you think's me, I want you to say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" The first part that I really want to focus on today, brothers and sisters, is that the Bible says that while Eli was lying down, that his eyes had begun to grow dim, meaning he had begun to lose his vision. His eyesight wasn't what it used to be. He was older in years at this point. He had been ministering to the Lord for countless years. And the Bible was very specific when it said, "Listen, his eyes had begun to grow dim." The first thing that I want to encourage you with and myself with today is to let you know that just because things don't work like they used to doesn't mean that God's given up on you. It doesn't mean that God's given up on me. I did a little research this morning about when our eyes begin to go and how the brain is a magnificent thing, and how when our eyes begin to go that the brain is allowed to, the way God made it, it adapts. So when our vision begins to go, it allows us to heighten our other senses. Our sense of smell is increased. Our sense of sound is increased. So I believe the Bible showing us here is just because maybe things aren't working the way that you and I want them to work, that we should use what God has given us. Eli did not give up on God just because he was going blind. Eli did not give up on God just because he couldn't see 20/20. Eli did not give up on God just because he was facing a little adversity. And I want to encourage us today to let you and I know that just because adversity's coming our way doesn't mean that it's necessarily all the time and always from the enemy. Sometimes God allows things to come into your life and to come into my life so that we can heighten our other senses. Sometimes God allows a lot of busyness to come our way so that we can choose him and choose peace and to choose to be calm than doing all these other distractions. Sometimes God allows other things to come into our lives because he wants you and I to make the right decision to focus on him and to gather our strength from him. You see, I believe God has you and I surrounded with people that has wisdom and that has insight, but we have to be willing to listen to them. Could you imagine what would have happened if when Samuel ran to Eli and Eli said, "Listen, this last time I want you to say, 'Speak, for your servant hears what you're saying, Lord.'" Could you imagine what would have happened if Samuel said, "Eli, you've lost your mind. You can't see like you used to, so I don't believe in you anymore. You're getting older. You're getting fatter. You're not as fast as you once were, so I don't believe what you're saying." Could you imagine if Samuel would have missed the word of the Lord? Samuel chose to believe Eli because I believe countless times he had seen him hear and obey the voice of the Lord. How many people in our lives are watching us and they're waiting for us to be like Eli to instruct them on what they should do? But you and I can't instruct them if we can't hear the voice of the Lord. It is extremely important for you to be able to hear God, for me to be able to hear God. And just because I hear God a little bit different than Alex does not mean it's any less important or more important. You see, God speaks to me in different kinds of ways through the scripture, through many ways, and I honor him for that. But I had a conversation with somebody a couple days ago, and they were like, "Alan, but God doesn't speak to me like he speaks to you." And they looked at it as a negative thing, and I said, "Well, praise God, why don't you figure out how God speaks to you?" You see, when Isabel comes to talk to Alex, she talks to her in a way different way than Isabel comes and talks to me. A lot of times when Isabel comes and talks to me, she does this little side view smile and the answer is yes, even though I want to say no. She knows how to hustle me. She knows how to pull on the Father's heart. What if you and I knew how to connect to the Father's heart like my 9-year-old daughter knows how to? What if you and I knew how to go to God and say, "Okay, God, I know that maybe I don't understand this and I don't understand that," but we pulled on his heart. But the only way for you and I to pull on the Father's heart is we first must understand how absolutely in love he is with us. You see, Isabel's not scared to come and talk to me about very many things. She'll ask me for the craziest things you've ever heard of in your life, something from whatever ice cream shorts are to going on a vacation and taking her best friend with her, whatever. She comes to me because there's a relationship there established. But I believe sometimes today, brothers and sisters, that we're scared to pull on the Father's heart because we don't believe that he's fascinated with us. We don't believe that he's in love with us. We believe that he's a God that has lightning bolts throwing them from heaven. But today, there's good news. God wants to reveal himself to you as much as he does to me. God wants to reveal himself to me as much as he does you. How do I know that? Glad you asked. Because the Bible says that he speaks to Samuel in this situation. And just to make a long story short, God tells Samuel, "Listen, I'm going to conduct judgment on Eli There's going to be some bad things that happens to him and his household, and you're going to be the new prophet. You're going to be the one that I speak to, that helps instruct Israel, that helps instruct my people. But where I really, really want to hang my hat today is where God showed me this morning. After all this happens, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh." One more time. "Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." One more time. "Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." The first time God spoke to Samuel, they were at Shiloh. And after he tells Eli these very hard things, he tells Eli exactly what God had told him. I don't think it was, the Bible even says that Samuel was scared, that he was nervous because he didn't want to share these things because he knew they were negative things. And at one of, I believe, Samuel's greatest confrontations, when Samuel was nervous, he was not steady, he was shaky. The Bible goes on in the very last verse and says, "And the Lord revealed himself to Samuel again at Shiloh." I never saw it before. I never understood that after Samuel gave this prophecy to Eli that was hard and it made him nervous, and I would argue made him scared, and that he was worried because he didn't want to lose his spiritual father. He didn't want to lose the comfort that he had with Eli. He never wanted to lose the relationship that he had with Eli. He was so consumed, or he was so dependent upon Eli, that he didn't even know the voice of the Lord. Eli had been the one ministering to the Lord. Eli had been the one offering the sacrifices. Eli had been the one giving the instruction. Eli had been the one sitting in the temple day in and day out for days and weeks and months and years. Eli had been the one conducting the business of the Lord. But after this prophecy, Samuel knew that Eli was about to be taken out. Samuel was nervous. Samuel was scared. How many of us today can testify, even though maybe we don't love the situation we're in, we still find comfort in chaos? Come on, somebody. Sometimes you and I find comfort in chaos because when we sit by ourselves, it makes us look at ourselves. Sometimes when you and I sit by ourselves, it makes us conduct judgment on what we're doing in our lives. Sometimes when you and I sit by ourselves, we have to ask God for help because mama and them ain't around, and daddy and them ain't around, and the prophet and them ain't around, and the pastor or the apostle. Nobody's around but you and I and the Lord. Sometimes when we need wisdom or we need knowledge, we'll take it from places everywhere except where God's trying to give it to us. And I want to encourage you today to let you know that God is wanting to appear and to reveal himself to you personally. Yes, I don't care how much sin's in your life, God will still speak to you. God spoke through a donkey. God spoke to people that never called upon his name. When the woman caught in the act of adultery stood before the Lord Jesus, not one time did she say sorry before he spoke to her. Not one time did she ask for forgiveness before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looked down and got down in the mud with her and spoke to the woman and therefore changed her life forever. She didn't ask for forgiveness. She didn't repent. She didn't look up and say, "Sorry, Lord, that I made this mistake." The Bible says that Jesus came to her and showed love, and that love changed her for the rest of her life. Today, I have good news. God wants to appear to you, and if he's done it once, he wants to do it again. Just like Samuel, he spoke to Samuel, and after the judgment, after the proclamation of what the prophet said, the prophet was scared. The prophet was nervous. The prophet was no doubt worried about his current situation. How many of us today are worried about our current situation, and we look for comfort in everything except God? We look for comfort in TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, all these other things. I know people that know how to use Facebook way more than they know how to use the Word of God. I know people that can tell me things about Facebook that absolutely blow my mind, but I'll say, "Turn to the book of John," and they have no idea where they're going. Why do we look for these 30-second clips to bring us comfort? Why do I look for these 30-second clips to bring us comfort? It's not real life. It is 30 seconds of the most made-up stuff that you and I will ever see in our lives. I was watching something the other day, and it's ultimately, it's a channel on, I think, YouTube or something. And what they do is they go behind the scenes of these famous streamers or content creators. I'm not going to lie to you. I absolutely refuse to call them influencers because they're not influencing anything of this household. The only influencer that you and I need to worry about is Jesus. The only person that should influence what happens on the inside of your house is Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and anybody related and around him. But ultimately, this channel or whatever, they go behind the scenes and, you know, you'll see this beautiful woman or man, not me this time, but a beautiful man swimming with sea turtles, let's say. And it looks gorgeous on this, you know, 30-second, 45-second video, but then the next channel behind the scenes shows that six people got bitten and the weather was terrible and they got caught on a boat for 8 hours and, you know, all the negative sides of this 30-second clip. But our kids, our brothers, our sisters, us, we look at it like, man, I wish I could be there. Man, I wish I could experience that. But I promise you, if you will ever get before the Lord and allow God to speak to you, then you will never, ever, ever be envious of absolutely anything else. When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords speaks to you, Brother Kevin, I know you can testify that there's absolutely nothing sweeter. There's absolutely nothing better. There's absolutely nothing more desirable to hear from the one that created the whole world and said, let there be light. And the Bible says there was. I'm telling you today, the enemy tries to throw off our kids and our brothers and sisters and us in every way except the truth. He wants us to follow these influencers and allow these men and these women that are absolutely imperfect like you and I. They mess up as much as we do, if not more. Why should we follow somebody that's imperfect when we have the perfect one? Why should we follow somebody that can't help themselves and doesn't have the power to raise their mortal body if they die or doesn't have the power to speak life and death like we do? Why should we allow anything but the Word of God and God to influence our lives? The Bible says that God revealed himself again to Samuel. I believe Samuel was nervous after he spoke to Eli. But the Bible was very clear and said that Samuel did not leave out anything that the Lord had said. Samuel was brave. Samuel made a choice to declare what God had spoke to him and let the pieces fall where they may, so to speak. But that doesn't mean Samuel wasn't scared and Samuel wasn't nervous and maybe Samuel didn't feel like he didn't belong or maybe Samuel even felt overwhelmed. Maybe Samuel didn't know how he was going to take care of the temple once Eli was gone. Maybe Samuel didn't feel deserving because Samuel came from a different lineage. Samuel came from Hannah. Samuel came from a praying mama that decided to believe God in spite of everything else. So I want to encourage us today because I know a lot of us are overwhelmed. And I know a lot of us are nervous that we can't live up to this standard. Or a lot of us think that just because we mess up, we want to live in shame. And a lot of us mess up and we want to live in regret. Well, I have good news. You and I serve a God that the Bible says that our sin is forgiven as far as the east is from the west. You see, it's the love of God that covers a multitude of sins. And I believe God has showed me this morning so I can share with everybody today what happens when we're nervous and when we're scared and when we're overwhelmed and when we feel like we don't make enough money and when we feel like we'd rather follow this influencer than God or when we feel like our lives is not as good as everybody else's or we'll never catch up or we'll never be good enough. I believe that's the situation Samuel was in. And the Bible says in verse 21 that the Lord appeared again in Shiloh and revealed himself to Samuel. The absolute only way that God could reveal himself to Samuel again was to show up in his presence. Have you ever been? Have you ever seen the show The Masked Singer? At the very end, they reveal themselves. They have to take off their mask and show their true identity. It's a good illustration of what I believe God did to Samuel that day. I believe he went into Samuel that day and he showed himself to Samuel. I believe Samuel got to see Jesus that day. I believe Samuel got to see Jesus in the Godhead. I believe Jesus and Samuel got to have a conversation. I believe the Holy Spirit was there. I believe God was there. I believe Samuel got to have a visitation from God because he felt uncomfortable and because he felt nervous and because he was obedient to the word of God. Today, in ending my word, I promise you, if you will be obedient to the voice of God, there's always a revelation right behind that. Your and I obedience to God, there's always a visitation. There's always a revealing of who God is right behind our obedience. Can God go before our obedience? Absolutely. But I believe it's one of the benefits of you and I obeying the voice of the Lord. I believe when we put ourselves in that situation, God desires to come sup with us. He desires to come speak to us. So if you need knowledge, if you need patience, if you need peace, if you need a word from God, then go before him like Samuel did and be brave, because the first revelation is amazing, but there's one to comfort you right after that. God will not leave you alone. God will not leave me alone. He's a God that desires to talk with us, to commune with us, to be with us. He is a good father. When Isabel comes to talk to me about something, the absolute last thing I would ever do is run away and leave her alone. The absolute last thing I would do is ignore her and treat her like she was nothing. And the Bible says, us being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more so our Heavenly Father. We got to change the way we think. God is good. And that's not just a saying. Yes, he's good all the time, and all the time God is good. But he is a God that wants to speak to us and reveal himself to us. Not just to the pastor, not just to the prophet, and not just to me. God is waiting on you and I to ask him to reveal himself to us. Let's pray. God, I thank you today. I thank you that when we're not enough, you're always there. I thank you that you're absolutely fascinated and in love with us. I thank you, Yahweh, that you showed me today that yes, you spoke to Samuel one time, but the second time was just as powerful. The second time you came into Samuel to reveal yourself to him, I believe you brought comfort, peace, and love. And I thank you today for my brothers and sisters in this call and that get to hear this message. Yahweh, I thank you that you are revealing yourself to each one of us collectively and individually. I thank you for every word you speak to us. I thank you that you're greater than our sin. You're greater than our shame. You're greater than our shortcomings. You are God and God all by yourself. And today we say yes to you. We say yes to your revealing, yes to your presence, yes to your forgiveness, and yes to your love. God, by faith, I consider these things done. I seal them, God. We believe them together, God. I know that collective prayer is powerful, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. We honor you, we bless you, and we consider these things done. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.